Learning Lechem Eliyahu in the Hebrew edition, volume 1, it's page 46. And the shir is Le'ilu Nishmas Menashe ben Shlomo Be. We're speaking about the topic is giving and taking, givers and takers. And what we've explained up to now is that a taker is a person who lives with a sense of lack. Now, he's always looking to take from others, and he wants to take as much as possible and give as little as possible in return, because he basically wants to take. So if he can get it for free, it's even better. If he needs to pay, he'll pay the minimum. He wants to take because he's lacking. And as such, that lack is what we call a hunger, and it's also really what the world calls ambition. When we say hunger, we don't just mean hungry for food, we mean hungry for all sorts of things, right? Honor and for wealth, mm-hmm. and for recognition and for prestige. So that's called hunger. That's really what people call ambition. But it comes from a situation of lack, and therefore puts a person into a frame, a mind frame that he needs to be taking. He needs to be getting the best possible, getting as much as possible all the time. And he's on the lookout to take from others, take advantage of others, get as much as possible in whatever way is best possible for himself. It's totally focused on himself. We also mentioned that the person who's a taker is focused on the physical world, because really it's only the physical world is a world of limitation. Why does he feel that he needs to take? Because there's not enough for everyone, so therefore he needs to get as much as possible. Right? Stories in the concentration camps of prisoners who would steal food from other prisoners. So doesn't he need it as much as you? So some people who are on very low moral standards, who have a very low morality, so as long as I have, I don't care if he dies. The main thing is that I should have more. So that's basically an extreme form of being a taker. Obviously there are all sorts of levels. Those people who are more gross takers and those who are more subtle takers, it's less obvious that they're really taking, but they're also takers. In contrast, we're speaking about the giver. So the giver is the one who's more in a spiritual realm, and the giver is from a place of having all that he needs. And he's able to take because he has a sense that he has whatever he needs, and therefore there's no urgency. There's no pressure. He doesn't feel that he's being squeezed, because really he has it all. He has absolutely anything he needs. How can a person have all that he needs? So we know the answer. The answer is what it says in Pekavas, because he's happy with his lot. He sees that what he has is exactly what he needs. He sees that Hashem is providing with all he needs. And even if there are difficulties in his life, there are hardships in his life, he realizes that is also something he needs for his own personal growth. Hashem has put him in a situation of test, and he needs this difficulty, because as when he climbs out of this difficulty, he'll come out a richer person. He'll be enriched by the experience, and therefore, just like a student has to study hard for a test, and that's not comfortable, it's a painful experience to start studying and cramming material into your head and preparing for a test. It's very pressured, but he realizes it's worthwhile because he's going to get some sort of certificate. So similarly, any type of hardship, so the person with the right hashkofa understands that this hardship is also part of really what's good for him, because it's going to help him to be the person he wants to be. Hashem is helping him to rise to a higher lot. And therefore he's happy with his lot. And when a person is happy with his lot, he needs nothing more. You can use a very simple analogy. Right? If you need to bake a cake, so whatever you need so much flour and so much eggs and so much oil and so much sugar, whatever it is that you need. Once you have all the ingredients, so someone say to you, "No, well, why don't you take another two or three eggs?" No, I'll spoil the recipe. Have another egg. I don't want another egg. I don't, take some more flour, take some more sugar. Just leave me alone. Go away, right? Because, in other words, right, you have it all. So that's the sense, in terms of your own life, a person has a sense of having it all, being happy with his lot. And then with that, you can also share. Now, when it comes to sharing, we also spoke about this also in the previous class. So in terms of sharing, it doesn't cost you anything. Now, that's a little bit hard for us to understand, because if I have the ingredients for a cake and I start giving some of it away, then I won't have enough. Then the cake won't work out because I don't, you know, I had three eggs, but I gave one away, so now I only have two. So the whole recipe is no good. But when you get into a spiritual realm, what you give away, it does not diminish at all. It does not diminish at all. The analogy is a person who has a candle, and he lights other candles with his candle. So 1,000 people can all light their candle from his candle, and his candle is the same. It's not diminished. Right? We gave the analogy also last week, I think, of a person who's looking at a sunset, and it's a beautiful experience. He's feeling very elevated, very inspired, and he wants others to share it with him, share the experience with me. So if 10 people stand next to him, that doesn't take away from his sunset. It's not now there's less for everybody, because it's not material. It's something beyond the material. So therefore, even 1,000 people are watching the same sunset, it's no less for you. On the contrary, it's more for you. The experience is more of an exciting experience. The more people have made it, have elevated you. And as such, when it comes to being a giver, really the greatest form of giving is a total spiritual giving, when you're wishing well on others, you're wishing happiness on others, you're wishing for others to have good lives, and you really want that for us, and you rejoice in their joys. If they're happy, you're happy for them, genuinely happy, not just with a artificial smile on your face. I'm so happy for you, big smile, right? And they take the picture, then you can and you can growl, right? But there's a genuine sense of happiness for others, as well as a genuine sympathy for others who are suffering hardships, where you feel their pain. So that's the ultimate giver. That person who's the true giver really wants the well-being of other people. And when you move into that realm, then the material also is not a problem. Then even in the material, there's no problem. You can even give away all your eggs and you'll still have enough eggs for yourself. Because once you're in that realm, it works differently. The blessing that comes down from heavens is a total different blessing. So therefore, you can even give away material things and you still won't be lacking. That's if you can get to see it, so then that becomes the reality. Okay, let's pick up where we're reading here. The present paragraph is called Healing Oneself from Evil Ambitions. Now we spoke about in the previous paragraph about good ambitions, right? The good ambition being a person who desires to be a giver, he desires to be a more spiritual person. The evil ambition is the ambition of the taker, right? The taker is the negative aspect of the personality. We all have some of the taker in us. We all have, to some degree, all of us are takers. Hopefully at a lesser degree, but to some degree we're all takers. And we want to try and heal ourselves of that desire to take, that sense of lacking, of deficiency, and therefore the need to put more on my plate and just, you know, be pushed through and be in front of the line and etc. So that need, how do we combat it? How do we combat that need within ourselves? So that's what Rav Dessler starts with the question, how does a person save himself from having this evil drive? The evil drive, or the drive of being a taker. This is a very difficult question. Because this type of drive to be a taker is a derivative. It comes straight from our evil inclination. And even if we fight our Yetzirah, we fight our evil inclination, and we conquer him, even if we're able to control ourselves, to discipline ourselves, you know, I don't act in a certain way, I don't do certain things. Even if you conquer him, you can only conquer him in terms of action. You can sort of control your actions, control your behavior. However, who can conquer his heart that his heart shouldn't lust, his heart shouldn't desire? Right? Who can conquer his dreams that he's not dreaming of, oh, when I'll have this and I'll have that and I'll get this? So how do we get our hearts to stop desiring this, the need to fill, you know, fulfill our deficiencies? How do we stop our hearts from lusting all the goodness of this world, right? Whether, as we mentioned before, whether it's money, whether it's holidays, whether it's recognition. So how do we conquer the heart? What can we do in order to that our hearts shouldn't lust for that which is negative for us? Just a story that I read. There was a Holocaust survivor. He was a young. He was taken to Treblinka at the age of 17, and he was from Hungary. And one of the most difficult things there was that they used to dream. There was the food. There wasn't enough food. They would be starved to death. There was just not enough food, and as a result. The inmates there used to dream about food. That was like their preoccupation, you know. They worked all day, but there was no content to their life. They were just robots. They were just, you know, slaves. So therefore, they used to dream, walking dreams, and lying in bed at night. And maybe sometimes they couldn't fall asleep. They were hungry. They used to dream. So he says the prevalent dream there was dreaming about food. People used to dream about meals, you know, 3-course meals and 5-course meals, and what they'll have for the starters, and what they'll have for the main course, and what will be the dessert, and this is for Shabbos, and this is for Yom Tov. People used to dream about food. And he says he realized that was a negative thing. That was actually pulling them down. And so he conjured up for himself, the youngster, he conjured up for himself debates. He attended a cheder, and he also attended a local goyish school, which was on Pulse Street. And there he had a teacher who was a Christian who was trying to convert him, who was trying to debate with him about, you know, that it's, you know, look at the lot of the Jews, you know, who wants to be a Jew? Look what happens to Jews. So he, in his dreams, he used to debate with this teacher, and he used to argue why it is good to be a Jew. And that was how he occupied his mind. But he understood that this was a healthier type of dream than just to be dreaming about food. And it is, because in a sense you are what you want, right? Your desires really define you as best possible, and that's really who you are. It's what you want from life. So therefore, the person who's just pursuing his lust, so that's who he is. That's right. The person who's looking for reaching higher goals, so that's who he is, right? You are what you want. He claimed that was one of the secrets of his survival. He from a family, his family, right, his uncles, etc. They were a family of 62, so there were only two who survived: himself and another uncle. So and this uncle also got some sort of job with the Nazis. So basically, he was basically the only survivor. Okay, so this is what we're talking about. So therefore, how does one conquer the heart, right? How do we conquer the heart that we shouldn't be dreaming of negative things, wanting, lusting for negative things, right? When we could be wanting positive things instead, right? Instead of dreaming about A, you could dream about B, right? How do you set your dreams? Our sages have revealed the secret of this when they taught, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that when you sate him, he's hungry, and when you hunger him, when you deny him, then he's satisfied. That's one of the keys, right? If you just keep feeding your lusts, so then the lust grows, right? It grows. It doesn't. It's not. Like you would logically, it should be the other way around, right? If you're hungry and you fill your hunger, so then you should be satisfied and you can forget all about it. But it doesn't work like that. With the Yetzer, it doesn't work like that. The more you give it, the more he wants, right? And the less you give it, so then he shrinks. His appetite actually shrinks. And therefore, that's the secret to conquering him is to deny him, right? Leimo ki arefua bedukav amitis. This is the remedy which has been checked and which is true. This has been verified. Now, obviously, it's not just the simple, you know, the combinations. If you're genuinely hungry, you know, so go and eat, you know. So it's not, right? We're allowed to eat, yeah? You can have some lunch. Okay. But it's, in general, you know, when a person goes fishing, so, you know, he lets out the rod a little bit, he's fishing, so he has to pull in the reel. Right? But sometimes, in order to weaken the fish, so sometimes he releases it a little bit. He lets out a little bit, and then he pulls again. Right? He lets out a little bit, then he pulls again. So obviously, it's not just that simple. Just, you know, just deny yourself everything. But the general trick is you're moving in the direction of cutting there, cutting down, right? And that's how you're going to conquer. That's again how you're going to conquer these types of desires. For a person who is sick with evil ambitions, evil drives, evil desires, taivas koyach anatila, which is the desire of taking, of being the taker, the one who wants to take from others, is a raven beraven atzmo, is to heal the hunger with the hunger itself. You heal the hunger by denying it. Klalhu, herevis yitzrecho v'yibodl mincho, starve your yetzahora and he will leave you. Right, just like if you starve your horse, so it'll die. Yeah. Okay, so if you starve your yetzar, eventually he will. And we also have that in Tehillim. David HaMelech says he conquered his yetzar with fasts. We're not saying that you have to fast, but that is the principle. V'takel trufas haravon azos letzadik. Now this healing is not easy. It's not such an easy remedy, right? Just deny it. No. Just keep saying no. It's not such an easy remedy, but it will be easier for a person who is a tzaddik, in other words, who has the thinking of a tzaddik, when he will remember that you can't unite giving with taking. Right? Now, giving and taking don't go together. If you're a giver, then you're not a taker. If you're a taker, then you're not a giver. So therefore, it's easier to deny ourselves if we remember that giving doesn't work together with taking. If a person's in a giving mode, so he's not in a taking mode. He's in a taking mode, he's not in a giving mode. Because as long as a person doesn't depart from this desire to be a taker, to that degree he cannot be a giver. He cannot, right? That's going to withhold him. And therefore he will not cleave to the attribute of his creator. Right? We know that the ultimate goodness is to be close to Hashem. Closeness to Hashem comes from being like Hashem. The more like you are to Him, the more the closer you are to Him. That's how you become like Him, right? Birds of a feather flock together, right? The likeness to Hashem is the closeness to Hashem. Hashem's attribute is a giver. Hashem is a pure giver. Nothing we give Him, He gives us everything. And therefore, that's closeness to Hashem, is by adopting that attribute of being a giver. So that's one incentive to try and help us control the desire to give into our inclinations, is to remember that if we're being takers, then we're not being givers, and then we're not acquiring this attribute of Hashem's being a giver. V'gam mishelo yigia el madreges atzadik, and also someone who's not yet reached the level of a tzadik. Right, his thought process is not the same as that of a tzadik. Yasim el liboy. He should take into mind that by being sick with the sickness of being a taker, his life is no life. Because he's always on the lookout for the take. So his life is no life. So if he can't motivate himself with a positive motivation, that he wants to be like Hashem, he wants to be a giver like Hashem, at least let him motivate himself with the negative aspect, that being a taker, being someone who's always taking, being the schnorrer, who's just looking for handouts all the time. So we feel sorry for these people. So that someone who's just looking to take from others, his life is no life. So let that be his motivation. It's better to suffer a little bit of hunger, rather than destroy all the happiness of his life. It's better to deny yourself a little bit than to destroy your happiness, your personal happiness. And that also makes it easier for him to deny his inclination. And that's why the tzaddikim are very, very careful not to be takers. They're very careful to avoid this attribute of taking from others. They try not to get any benefit from it all, so that they shouldn't be trapped in the net of being taken. They shouldn't fall into that trap. And the sage, the wisest of all men, have said, and we've quoted this before a few times, right? And Shlomo HaMelech said, and the one who hates gifts, he's alive, he will live, right? Because to love gifts is to be a taker, and that's to go far from Hashem. To hate gifts, to hate To hate gifts, to hate to receive free gifts all the time, to hate the idea. It doesn't mean you're not receiving gifts, but you hate the idea of being a person who's dependent on others' gifts. So that is life. That leads us to life because it leads us to the attribute of being a giver and not a taker. Now the next topic here is Hakoras HaTov. Hakoras HaTov we normally translate as gratitude. Gratitude. The literal translation, and this is very powerful, the literal translation is the recognition, the ability to recognize goodness. So therefore, if someone does something for you, someone gives you a gift, someone helps you in some way, so to recognize that this person has troubled himself for you, you're recognizing the goodness that you're recognizing the trouble he's gone to for you, that is a very admirable quality called Hakoras HaTov, which we call gratitude. You're grateful to him, but it's more than just expressing gratitude, more than just saying thank you. It's actually seeing the trouble that the other person has gone to for you, and with that seeing that, it puts him in his debt. An ultimate Hakoras HaTov we have to have is towards Hashem. We have to feel to Makir HaTov. Hashem gives us our lives. He gives us the air we breathe every second. He keeps our bodies together. They shouldn't fall apart. And he gives us an internal life as well. He gives us spiritual life. He gives us thoughts. He gives us the ability to speak. He gives us the ability to dream. All sorts of wonderful gifts he gives us. So the Hakoras HaTov, the recognition of the goodness you're receiving. Recognition of the goodness you're seeing. You see, when you feed a baby, so the baby puts the food in his mouth and he swallows, but there's no recognition that, you know, that was you who gave it to him. Well, I was hungry and food came in. And that's it. That's what happens when you're hungry. You just open your mouth and the food flies in. Automatic. There's no recognition of the giver. There's no recognition that someone else has gone to expense and to trouble. Right? Okay, when a mother gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning to change her baby, you know, he doesn't say, yeah, thanks, wow, I really, you know, that's amazing, huh? Thank you so much, I really appreciate you getting up out of bed, Mom. Right? There's no, it's because the intellect's very undeveloped. But really, that is, the greatness is Hakoras HaTov, recognition, to recognize the goodness that we receive from others. Right? You know, our rabbis go to extremes here. There's a very, very, almost puzzling teaching from the rabbis. The rabbis say, that what does a good guest say? What does the good guest say? He says that all that the balabos went to trouble for, he did it all for me. Which means, let's say you are a guest at someone's house. This person has 12 kids, right? And they made a whole banquet for the whole family. And you were also a guest. You were the 13th place there, right? They set you at the corner of the table. And they gave you what? They gave you a slice of bread, two slices of bread. They gave you a portion of meat, some vegetables, etc., right? You're going to come away saying, this is what the rabbis are telling us, I think it's hard to understand. You're going to come away and saying, all that the balabos went to trouble for, he did it all for me. Did it all for me? What, he's feeding his 12 kids as well, right? Mm-hmm. He's feeding himself, he's feeding his wife, right? Anyway, they had a whole big pot. But such a big pot, I mean, obviously there's a little bit for me. How much can they possibly, right? The person cooks for a lot of people, it's impossible to have exact measures. So therefore, obviously there's going to be food left over. What's the big deal? They gave me a little bit of food. I'm a small eater anyway. I don't eat that much. Right? So therefore what? He did me a favor. So that's called the evil guest. The evil guest says, the evil guest, Orech Ra. This is Chazal. I'm telling you a Gemara. The evil guest says, what trouble did he go to? He gave me a slice of bread. Big deal. Big deal. You can afford it. Look how much money he's got, right? He gave me a little portion of meat. So big deal. So that's called the evil guest. If that's the way you're thinking, so you're called the evil guest. And if you're the good guest, you're the one who's thinking that all the trouble he went to, he did it all for me. All for me. Doesn't make sense. But that's what... Okay, think about it. Think about it. See what you can do with it. There's a partial way of explaining it. A partial way of explaining it is there's another teaching from Chazal that says that... that a person should say, "Kol ma shebora Kodesh Baruch Hu loy bora ela bishvili." All that Hashem created is all for me. Now, this entire world is worthwhile even for an individual, right? Even if one individual will do one mitzvah once, right? Even if one individual will say Amen to a bracha once, it's worthwhile for the whole of creation to exist, right? From beginning to the end. Okay, because that is, it means that from the material world we have elevated, we've extracted something which is spiritual. So therefore there is an idea that a person should be looking at, that Hashem has set up this whole world and all the people in the world, all the people I meet, and all the stores and the streets and the houses and whatever, the thousands of people in China and India as well, right? Hashem has set it all up for me. Because I'm in this world, I'm given an opportunity to grow here. Hashem has put me into a situation where I can work on myself, I can grow myself, I can develop myself. And that's really the profit. That's what I've been put here to do in order to become a more spiritual person. So therefore, it's all for me. And it's true. Because, right? So therefore, when you go to this house with the 12 kids, so it could be the whole house with the 12 kids all exist so that you should come there once. This was all for you. So that's a way to look at it. That's really, it's not that exaggerated, right? It's really all, that's the type of gratitude we can have, the real gratitude being the gratitude to Hashem. Okay, let's hear of Dessler now. Ma heina koras atoiva hoida. What is gratitude and thanks? Ayehu makoirim benefesh. Where does it fit into the personality? How do we slot it in to the makeup of the soul, of this personality? What section does that take, right? If you're going to divide everything, right, the whole, all the different aspects of your life, you're going to put them all in neat drawers, and you're going to categorize them, and you're going to put them in a file folder, right, with labels. Where do we put, and into which slot do we slot in the concept of gratitude? Where does that fit in to our general makeup? Ayehu makoiram benefesh. What is its source in the soul? And from where does ingratitude come from? Where is it? We see there's a tendency for people to be ingrates. They're not grateful. Right? Sometimes you help a person and nothing. Right? Maybe you'll say, oh, you gave it to me. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. You know, but there is a tendency, we see it amongst people. We also have it within ourselves. You can catch yourself also with this fault, where you receive goodness from others and you fail to express gratitude, or to even to think, which is more important, to think gratitude, think grateful thoughts. What is the source of ingratitude? That most people stumble on this. Most people in the world stumble on, in the Jewish world as well, most people stumble on this lack of having proper appreciation and gratitude. Where does it come from? Says Rav Dessler, Gambazet Takir es Anoisin Vainoitl. So here also we have to point to the giver and the taker. To understand this topic of gratitude, we must look at again at our main topic, which is givers and takers. Anoisin, the giver, the person who is a giver, Yagish Blavova Shelo Yachpois Bematzon Eschina. The person who is a giver feels in his heart doesn't want free gifts. He's looking to be the giver. He's not on the lookout for free gifts. He doesn't really want free gifts. Kishif also hiraklita, because he wants to be a giver. He's looking to give. He's not looking to take. He's not looking to draw towards him things that are outside of himself. Alkein kasher yagei elav dover meisrael. So therefore, when he does receive something from a friend, when a friend does give him a gift, he has an automatic desire to pay him. Let me pay you, right? A friend gives you a gift. Oh, that's wonderful. That's just what I want. Let me pay you. So there's a desire, because he doesn't want to be a taker, because he's looking to be a giver, and the two really don't work together. So therefore, there is a desire within him to pay. Let me pay you for it. And if he's not able to do this, the friend says, no, I insist, no, I'm not taking 1 cent from you. I refuse to, you don't give me anything. If there's no, he's no ability to pay, he wants to pay him. Number one is he wants to pay him. It doesn't matter that he does it or not. That's the want. And if he's not able to do this, so in his heart, he has a sense, an obligation of I owe you. In his heart, he has a sense, I owe you. And he therefore from that pours out thanksgiving. Thank you so much. Right? If I can't pay you back, literally, I can't pay you what it cost you. Let me at least thank you as a type of payment, right? Let me show my appreciation. Let me help you to feel good about yourself. You know, you did a nice act. You did a generous act. Let me show gratitude to you and try and pay you by with feel good, that you should feel good about what you've done. Let me somehow show appreciation. So that in that way, I'll also be paying you. That's also a way of paying someone, is that you thank him for what you give him. And then again, it's not free so much, because you're giving him something in return. You're giving acknowledging. Avala noitel, however, the taker, Yishov tadir limshoich, he's looking always just to draw towards himself. Again, the taker is the one who's lacking, he's deficient, and therefore he's looking to pull towards himself all that he's lacking. He's looking to take as much as possible, all that he can, as much as he can he wants for himself. Whether he does it through theft, sometimes depends on his level, but he's not even shy to steal, or with deceit, he'll deceive a person to give him whatever, or even with a gift. Maybe there's certain takers who won't steal, they won't deceive, but they are looking for gifts. They're happy to receive gifts. They're on the, I hope my uncle remembers me. I'll write him a nice letter so he should remember me. So therefore, he's looking to receive. Bekerv liboy, and what's going on in this person is as follows: bekerv liboy yachshav ki akol shelo, because in his heart he's thinking, it should all be mine. It really should be mine. You see someone with a nice car, that car should be mine. You see someone in a nice house, that house should be mine. You really feel that, and if he feels entitled, and if he doesn't have it, he's been cheated. Life cheated me, I didn't get it, right? Okay? You have that sometimes, even if a person sometimes, has a physical handicap, so he feels he's been cheated by life. That's also, it's difficult to, a person is a very difficult situation, right? Except a person has a certain physical handicap. So that's not a very easy situation. But really, who says Hashem owes you what? Hashem owes you two arms, two legs, two eyes. What? Where is it written Hashem owes you anything? Hashem doesn't owe you anything. I've been cheated. Everyone else got two arms, I only got one. So obviously it's a tragedy. Obviously we cry for such a person. But this feeling of entitlement is from this desire. I deserve. I should have it. So therefore he wants it all. He wants it should all be his. Bishvilo for him. Okay, in Begia Dov HaToiv. And therefore, when he does receive something, his friend did him a favor. When his friend did do a favor for this person who is the taker, he feels no need to pay him at all. I've done it. That person owes me. And my parents, sure, my parents owe me. For sure, they owe me, right? And my neighbor, certainly he owes me. So therefore, when he gets something from others, he has no sense of appreciation, because it's obvious they should be giving to me. They should have given me more. That's his sense. Is he doesn't feel any, right? We spoke about the giver. The giver, when he receives something, he has automatic need to pay for it. How can I receive it? I must pay you. Let me pay you for it, or let me at least thank you for it, right? But the taker doesn't have any sense that he owes the other person anything, because obviously that person should be giving. He should have given me more even, right? And this is what the person that we call an ingrate. An ingrate is he denies the goodness he receives. The first example was Adam, right? Adam Arishon, the first man,
yeah.
Right? So Hashem said to him, why do you eat from the fruit? Eitz Hadas Tov, why do you eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge? He says, that woman you gave me, she gave it to me. Right? that's called an ingrate. Hashem gave him a wife. Hashem gave him a wife, a companion. Hashem gave him a wife, a companion, right? That's, she's not good enough, right? That's an ingrate. You give a person a car, he says, why don't you give me a Rolls Royce? So therefore, that's the first example in the Torah. That was called Kofui Tova, right? To have a complaint about the gift. You received the gift and say, well, the gift you gave me was no good. Right? Therefore, that's why I sinned. It's because of her I sinned. I'm a tzaddik, I wouldn't have sinned. But she did it. It's her fault. The interior sanoidzel ki yoide, and if you do see a person who's a taker giving thanks, if you do see a person who's a very self-centered person, you do see him giving thanks, the founding gamba ufin yafimul, and sometimes he even says a very nice thank you, not just a mumbled thank you. Sometimes you'll see a person who's a taker making a very, very elaborate thank you. Al tamin boy boydosa, don't believe in him or in his thanks. He besvosav yachnoi velibo balimoy. With his lips, he looks to flatter. He looks to flatter the person who gave him, and his heart is not in it at all. Ach bashech b'cheftzel esaviv lav oy toivis rabuis and matonis chashuvis. just that because the taker wants more gifts, right, and he wants to try and cause that other that he should receive even more, and he should get even greater gifts. Yislabish b'ksus makirtov. So he puts on an act. He puts on the garment of someone who is grateful. He acts like a grateful person, but since he's really a taker, it's only an act, and he's only doing it because he hopes to get more gifts. If he knew this person would not be giving him one more cent, this was the last thing the person could give him, he wouldn't even say thank you. But since he expected this person who gave him will probably give him more gifts in the future, so therefore he puts on this act of being so grateful. So for such a person, even his act of gratitude is an act of taking. His act of thanksgiving is an act of taking, because it's totally insincere. Kach hi kavanosu. Klal shaldov. So the general rule is as follows. Hakorasa tevi tervus kerech hanasina. The ability to express gratitude and to feel gratitude is part of the toolbox of the giver. The giver is naturally grateful. He's naturally thankful. He's naturally appreciative. That's part of being a giver, is that you have gratitude for anything that you receive. You're able to recognize the other person's goodness in giving to you. Ukfiyasa teva, and if you see ingratitude, you see a person who's an ingrate, so you should know he told this klach and atzila, that is an offspring, that's an outgrowth of this desire to be a taker.